The name of the message is, Thy Sins Are Forgiven. Thy Sins Are Forgiven. Now this same healing, of which we just read about in Matthew 9, is also spoken of over in Mark chapter 2. Turn, if you would, over to Mark chapter 2. Let's take a look over there. And we see that this man's friends go to great lengths. They go to great lengths to bring their paraplegic friend to the feet of Christ. Great lengths. That's not mentioned over there in the Matthew narrative, in Matthew chapter 9. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And the same narrative again is the one we just read. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. So the crowd was so great that no one could even come into the door. No one could even come into the room where he was. The crowd was so great. And we see he preached the word to them. He preached the scriptures, we know that is. And the scriptures there is the Old Testament. There was no New Testament there. So he's preaching the Old Testament to them. Look at this. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Four men carried this man. Carried the paraplegic, the man with palsy. They carried him to bring him to the feet of Christ. And when they could not come nigh unto him, they couldn't get close to him. Why? For the press, they uncovered the roof. They went to such great lengths that they went up on the roof and they opened a hole in the roof. They opened a hole in the roof. So why? We'll see why. Look at this. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they made a hole, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So they took, they climbed on the roof, they took him somehow up with them. They opened a hole in the roof of the house that he was in, and they lowered this man so that he would be at the feet of Christ. My! My! Look at what Jesus says about this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick and the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 9. Now in this chapter right before this one, our Lord had, in chapter 8, our Lord had just cast out the demons, the legion of demons from the Gadarene demoniac. That's what he had just did. Just cast out the legion of demons from the Gadarene demoniac. And the Gadarenes, right, resenting the loss of their hogs, they didn't care about the man being healed. They were mad because their hogs died. They were mad because it affected their pocketbook. Oh my. They were disgusted with the Son of God, and they urged him to depart from their coast. And so what does he do? He did it. My. That's judgment, isn't it? He just left them where they were. Fine. My, oh my. Look at verse 1 then. This is what happens after that. Our Lord departed by a ship and came into his own city, which we saw in Mark chapter 2 was Capernaum. The scripture says here, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Now, Capernaum here is called his own city because at present it was the principal place of his residence and the principal place of his ministry, the principal city of his ministry. All that is recorded in this chapter, if you read this chapter, it's all recorded in Capernaum. Now, in the casting out of the legions of demons, again, from the Gadarene demoniac, we saw a clear picture. If you read that narrative in chapter 8, you will see a clear picture of the power of God. A clear picture. No one could help this man. They had chained him, right? They had bound him, which shows religion. Religion tries to cure people by binding them. And it doesn't do them any good, does it? No good at all. But oh, if one has an encounter with the King of Glory, you'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. And so was that man. And the Lord, remember, he wanted to go with the Lord, and the Lord said, you go and tell the great things that I've done for you. My. And that's what God's people do. We proclaim the great things that God has done for us. So God's great power and His mercy was on full display. This Gadarene demoniac was delivered from the power of the devil and the power of sin, and the legion of demons within him were cast out. Cast out. And again, the people in that land cared more for their pocketbooks than anything else. They cared about their gain because they saw their hope of gain destroyed when those hogs went right into the water. Oh my, they were not happy at all. They were not happy at all. And they drowned. And then they asked again our Lord to leave the area. So we see here again in verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Now let's read verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of a palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. So we see here in this verse, our Lord manifests His deity. He manifests His deity here. In Mark chapter 2, which we read, we saw that this man was brought by four of his friends to the Lord. They climbed the roof, they made a hole, and they lowered their friend down to be at the feet of Christ. And we know that they had faith in Christ because our Lord said, seeing their faith, they believed that Christ could heal him. They believed that. And so they opened a hole in the roof and they let him down in front of the Savior. Now this miracle before us is just one of many which confirms that Jesus Christ is God. He is God incarnate in the flesh. And we'll see as we study this tonight, it confirms who He is. And we'll see too, it confirms that He is the Messiah. With a statement that He'll make in these verses. And those Jews knew what he was saying when he said those words. So this is one of the many miracles which confirms again that Christ is God. It confirms his Godhead. And it confirms his mission as the Messiah. He came to save his people from their sins. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. We'll look at what's recorded over here in Isaiah chapter 35. In this portion in Isaiah 35 we're going to see speaks of the Messiah. Now remember, this man is sick of the palsy. He's a paraplegic. He's lame. He can't do anything. He can't move. Obviously he's being carried about on the bed. He can't even bring himself to where Christ is. He doesn't have any ability. Oh, what a picture, eh? And he doesn't have any power to come where Christ is. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 35. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking of the Messiah. And we have evidence in our passage in Matthew chapter 9 that this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see that later. Look at this, Isaiah 35 verses 4 to 8. Say to them that are far... Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God, that's Elohim, will come with vengeance, even Elohim with recompense. He will come and save you. What has Christ done for His people? Amen. He came to save His people from their sins, didn't He? Saved us. He saved God's people. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open. What were we before the Lord saved us, we who are believers? We were blind. Spiritually blind. We had no clue. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. We heard the things of Scripture, but we didn't hear them, did we? No, we didn't. Oh my. But one day, for those of us who are born again, for those of us who are the blood-washed children of God, our eyes were opened and our ears were unstopped. Now this is also speaking about people who were physically blind when the Messiah comes, though. But we see also a picture of us spiritually. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart. Well, we're going to see this man tonight. After the Lord heals him, he's going to pick up his bed and he's going to walk away. The lame. When what happened to that man at the gate called Beautiful? Do you remember? He was leaping and praising God after he was healed. Oh, it's wonderful. So this speaks of the Messiah here. Look at this too. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of a dumb sing. Oh, now we sing of the praises of our Lord. We who are the people of God. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool. The parched ground pictures us in our natural state. The pool pictures us born again of the Holy Spirit God. And the thirsty land, springs of water. Springs of everlasting water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. It'll be fertile by the fruit of the Spirit, beloved. Look at this. I love this. Verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of what? Holiness. Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fool, shall not err therein. Now look what it says there. And highway, one highway, and highway shall be there, and a way, one way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. Who's the way, the truth, and the life? The Lord Jesus Christ. This is speaking of the Messiah, beloved. This is speaking of the Messiah. And it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. We who are the people of God are poor, wayfaring strangers, aren't we? Traveling through this world of woe. Oh my. So here in this passage here is spoken of the Messiah. And we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one spoken of in Isaiah chapter 35:8 called the way of holiness. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Matthew 9:2. And remember it said, the lame shall leap as an hart, right? Well, this man, he's sick of the palsy. He's paraplegic. Can't move. Look at what it says. And behold, they brought him, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Matthew 9:2. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. So we see in this verse that this man was so sick of the palsy that all he could do was lay upon the bed. That's all he could do. He could just lay upon the bed. His nerves were so weak that he was not able to walk for himself. And he wasn't even able to be carried by others like this. He had to lay on the bed to be carried. And four men had to carry him. Remember the stretcher bearers during World War I and World War II? Well, instead of there being one man on each end holding two, this fellow, they had to have a man on each stick, each corner, to carry him. And notice our Lord brings forth the faith that the four men who carried their friend to Christ, He brings this forth. It says, Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. God honors God-given faith. God honors God-given faith. He doesn't honor faith that man musters up, which is not faith at all. But He does honor God-given faith. And our Lord sees the faith of these four friends of this man, who they laid before Him. And He grants this man forgiveness, which we will see next. Think of this. This man could not heal himself. He couldn't heal himself. This man had no power and no ability to heal himself. So what do we see here? We see a picture of natural man. We see a picture of natural man with no hope to heal themselves, no power to heal themselves, no ability to heal themselves. So we see a picture of natural man's hopeless, helpless estate before God. And who do these men take their dear friend to? The same person that we take our dear friends to and our family members, don't we? They take him to the only one who is the hope of the hopeless. They take him to the only one who is the help of the helpless. They take him to the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh. And wherever there is faith in Christ, there is assurance of adoption as well. And we see the first word. Look at the first word the Lord spoke to this man. This is the beginning of good things, beloved. Because look what He says. Son. Son. The Savior called this man son. This implies sonship. This is one of those sheep that are lost that the Father gave in love to Christ in eternity. And God knows His sheep, doesn't He? Because we know, because He said to those men in John 10, He says, you're not my sheep. But He calls this man son. Son. Oh, this implies sonship. Here the Master publicly owns this sinner as His own child. He publicly owns him as His own child. Galatians says this, and what I mean by that is he's one of His elect. Scripture says this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, because you're sons. He doesn't call everyone sons. But He calls this man son. Scripture says in 1 John 3:1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, being God's people, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Romans 8:15-17, the Scripture says this, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So the born-again believer cries out to God, Abba, Father. He's my Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So He calls this man son. This is one of His lost sheep. This is one in whom Christ would be glorified. And we're going to see He's glorified through this man, through healing this man. One commentator said this, and I love this. This is one who's been given to Christ in eternity, and one who had been put among the children of men to bring Him glory. Isn't that amazing? And whom He should bring glory to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that. Think of that if you're a born-again child of God. You are placed among the children of man to bring glory to God. That's incredible. That's just incredible. As I said this morning, that's mercy unbounded. There's no bounds to that mercy, is there? None. You can't measure it. You can't measure that mercy. And then look what the topic He brings up here in Matthew 9:2. Look at the topic He brings up is the forgiveness of sins. Let's read verse 2 again. And behold, they brought Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, hopeless, helpless, can't do anything about his condition. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Those are sweet words to sinners. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Listen to what one grace preacher of old said about how the Lord spoke to this man. If He had healed this man physically without his sins being forgiven, the man is still in a tragic shape, because he'd be dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus, seeing their faith, again, said of the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. How would you like to have a healthy body and a dead soul? So the Lord, this is one of His sheep, and He says, thy sins are forgiven thee. This is one who He's going to go to Calvary's cross to purchase him with His precious, precious blood. This is one who His love has been set upon from eternity. And then He bids him to be of good cheer. Oh yeah. When you know your sins are forgiven, it's not hard to be full of good cheer, is it? Oh my. My, oh my. Now, we go through trials, and we do, and they bring us down, and they beat on us and all that. But remember, we always have the Lord with us as we, right? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But be a good cheer if you're a believer. Your sins are forgiven. Remember, this is a picture of us in our natural state, too. Oh my. This is why we say, flee to Christ. There is nowhere else you can find the forgiveness of all your sins but Christ. Nowhere else. In Christ, all our sins are forgiven. Outside of Christ, there is no forgiveness, and the wrath of God will fall upon us. And it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance, isn't it? When we read these narratives, it's like, oh my, this is wonderful. Is it any wonder then that the born-again, blood-washed believer glorifies God? There's no wonder, is there? No wonder. Be of good cheer. So he was under a sense of sin and his soul was distressed, and now the Lord Jesus Christ tells him, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Nothing could be more cheering, nothing could be more reviving for this man to hear these sweet words from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, from God incarnate in the flesh. And this man has good reason to be cheerful and to rejoice. to rejoice in his heart. The Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh, has just told him, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven." My! Thy sins be forgiven thee. So here before us we have a wonderful instance of the grace of Christ to bestow a blessing unasked for. This man didn't ask for this blessing. No, he was carried by his friends who hauled him up to that roof. I couldn't even imagine that, what that'd be like. Hauled him up onto the roof, broke a hole in the roof, and lowered this man down. No wonder the Lord said about their faith. Oh my goodness. And then for him to hear this, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." He's a sinner from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. To hear these wonderful words, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." My, isn't that how we feel when we first got a glimpse of Christ, we who are God's people? When He was revealing Himself to us? When we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God and He's drawn us to Christ and gives us faith to believe on Christ, to look to Him? And now, we listened to Brother Norm this afternoon, and Norm said, we just keep coming to the Lord, don't we? We never stop. We keep rejoicing in the wondrous salvation God's people do of what we have in Christ. Is it any wonder we tell others about it when we get the chance to, if the Lord opens the door for us? Well, it's no wonder we do. My, oh my, He's glorious. So we see here also before us the first act here in proof of Christ's deity. We see His eternal power to pardon sin. To pardon sin. With these wondrous words here, our Lord has manifested that He is God incarnate in the flesh. And we see God's mercy, which we looked at this morning. We see God's mercy here on display, don't we, towards this man. When He says to him, he's sick with the palsy, he's paraplegic, he can't help himself, he's hopeless, he's helpless. And then we see these words our Lord speaks to him, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now let's look at verse 3. Now here comes the religious fault finders. Here they come. Here they come. And note what they said within themselves. Now note this, this is important. They did not verbalize these words. They did not verbalize these words. And here's these religious fault finders. And they're thinking within themselves these thoughts. "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth." It says within themselves. They didn't verbalize it. Now, we see here the malice and the hatred that the scribes had for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right away, these religious fault finders say in themselves, they say, "This man blasphemeth." Now, it's true that only God can forgive sins. That's true, isn't it? That's a truth. But these scribes, these religious hypocrites, they had no idea that Christ was God in the flesh. They had no idea that He was God in the flesh. And their hatred of Christ had so blinded them, their hatred of Christ had so blinded them that all they can do is find fault with Christ. If you ever get to a point with someone where you feel like all they say, whether it be true or not, and you find fault with what they're saying, then you need to pray about things. And that's these scribes, they hated Him. The Pharisees hated our Lord. Everything He said, they found fault with. And we know He's the truth. He's speaking the truth, isn't He? All they can do is find fault. And our great king had just told this man that his sins are forgiven. Look in the next verse, though. We see again our Lord's deity brought forth even more in this portion of Scripture. Look at this. This is marvelous. This is incredible. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts. So they didn't speak a word verbally. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" My, oh my. We see here that the thoughts and intents of men and women are laid bare before our great Savior. Laid bare before our great God. We may not verbalize our thoughts. We may not verbalize our thoughts. We may not verbalize our intents. But the Lord sees right through our hearts. Right through our hearts. Whether we're saved or lost. And we see this truth brought forth in these words in Jesus knowing their thoughts. Knowing their thoughts. So what we see here in verse 3, is that which is spoken of in the Scriptures, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, they thought about this within themselves. They didn't verbalize it. But it was inside. And the Scripture says that when we speak out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whether we speak blasphemy or whether we speak blessings. Look at verse 3 again. They never spoke these words, that this man blasphemeth. But we see that our Lord brings forth, again in verse 4, that He knows the thoughts and the intents of all hearts with these words. Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? So we see here again proof before us of our great Savior's deity. Here is proof of His deity. We see very clearly that our Lord knows the thoughts and intents of man. And there were certain of the scribes that found fault with the words of Christ. They found fault with the words that Christ spoke to this man sick of the palsy. And they secretly said within themselves, "This man speaketh blasphemy." And I imagine they said it with proud hearts. They probably supposed that no one knew what was going on in their minds, did they? That's what they thought. They thought, no one knows what's going on in my mind. But they had yet to learn that the Son of God could read hearts and discern spirits. We see here that their malicious thoughts were publicly exposed and they were put to open shame. The Lord knew their thoughts. Here's an important lesson for us, for we who are the people of God. We who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Here's an important lesson for us that nothing we think can be concealed from Christ. Nothing. What do we think of in private when no one sees us? What do we think in church when we seem grave and serious? What are we thinking of at this moment as we hear these words? The Lord Jesus Christ knows and He sees the thoughts and intents of our hearts, and this should humble us before our great God. This should humble us before our great God. And we ought to be, we who are the people of God ought to rejoice, aren't we? We ought to rejoice. And we ought to thank God daily that the blood of Christ cleanses us from every sin. Even all our thought sins. All our heart sins. And all the sins we do indeed. Oh. My, it ought to It ought to put a spring in our step. Son, be of good cheer. It ought to make us of good cheer, isn't it? To know that all our sins are forgiven. But never forget, though, the Lord knows everything about us. Everything. We ought to cry to the Lord often in praise and thanksgiving, shouldn't we? We should. Often. Praise and thank Him for His mercy, we who are the people of God. So we see the second proof here in our text of our Lord's Godhead is that Jesus knew their thoughts. The first proof was He said, Thy sins be forgiven. And only God can forgive sins. So the second point we see is here, He knew their thoughts. And notice He acted upon that knowledge of knowing their thoughts by telling them what they thought. You see that? He says to them here, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? So He knew it, and He acted upon it, putting them to open shame. My. This is also the sole prerogative of the Godhead, that God knows everything. He's over all. Listen to this, these two scriptures that speak of this. Jeremiah 17:10, I the Lord search the heart. I the Lord search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That's Jeremiah 17:10. And then in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 23, it says this, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searches the reins and the hearts. That's in Revelation chapter 2, verse 23. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. My. With this in mind, let's go back to Matthew chapter 9. Let's read verses 4 to 6. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith He to the sick and the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. So we see here before us that the Lord Jesus Christ, by the exercise of His authority, here is this man who was in a hopeless, helpless state. No ability again, no power to change the state that he was in. Here again, our Lord proves, and we will see what happens in the next couple of verses, He proves that He's God. So, we see in these few verses, the Lord Jesus Christ proving who He is. It's incredible. We saw that only God has the power to forgive sins. Only God has the ability to make a lame man walk. Only God has the power to heal. And this miracle gives evidence of His great power. It's on full display. Remember in Isaiah 35 when I read, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out in streams in the desert. In this miracle, the Lord Jesus Christ has set forth that He is the Messiah. That He is the Messiah. You know how we know that? You see this phrase here in verse 6, Son of Man? It says here, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith He to the sick and the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, go unto thine house. Son of Man there was perhaps the most common title by which the Jews referred to the Messiah. And the Lord calls Himself that. He's proclaiming that He's the Messiah. In this miracle, the Lord Jesus Christ brings forth that He is the Messiah when He calls Himself the Son of Man. And then He says, He is the one who has power on earth to forgive sins. We know that all power is being given to Christ, right? God has given Christ all power. All power. All authority. He has it all. It's in no one but Him. No one but Him. Turn, if you would, to Luke. Luke chapter 4. I'll read Isaiah 61, which speaks of the Messiah, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the sent one of God. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Now, look here in Luke chapter 4. Verses 17 to 21. Look at this. This is marvelous. "And there was delivered unto him," unto Christ, "the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Now, that's a reference to the Messiah. He's reading in Isaiah, again it says in Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach glad tidings unto the meek." He's appointed, the Lord says here, "because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." In Isaiah 61:1, it says, "He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." Now look in Luke 4:18. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set them at liberty. Set them at liberty, them that are blind, bruised." And then look what the Lord says to them here in Luke chapter 4, verse 20. "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogues were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Oh, that's incredible, isn't it? So marvel. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. Marvel at verse 6. With that in mind, marvel at verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ declares again that He is the Messiah with these words. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He's come to save His people from their sins. And He says this in Matthew 9, 6. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man," and that's Him, that's Christ, "hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith He to the sick and the palsy, 'Rise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house.'" And we see that our great Savior and Redeemer has power on earth to forgive sins, not only in ability as God, but in authority. But in authority as our mediator. He's our mediator between God and man. We are saved by Him, by the shedding of His precious blood. And we see that even when He was here on earth in a state of humiliation, because this is a state of humiliation when He was here on this earth, He left the glories of heaven. Even when He was here on earth in a state of humiliation, in a fashion as a man and in the form of the servant, while He was conversing with sinful humans, He has all power. All power even then. To forgive sins. And not only does He have all power, He has the ability. He has the ability. And He turns away from those religious hypocrites, those religious fault finders, and He speaks to this man, the one who is sick of the palsy, and He says to him, without putting up any prayer, notice He didn't put any prayer up to God either, because He's God incarnate in the flesh, without putting up any prayer to God, but just by the word of His power, by His own lips, He says, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. He ordered this man from his bed. This man is ordered by the Son of God. Remember, he was carried by four men to this place. Taken up on a roof. A hole is ripped in the roof. They lower him down. And he's still in the same state when he's lowered down to be at the feet of Christ as when they bought him. And he is hopeless to help himself. He's helpless. But he's put at the feet of the one who the helpless hope in. Who the needful look to. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with the command of God incarnate in the flesh, we will see here that there's power. There's power with this command that our Lord gives. There's power, and there's the ability to heal and to forgive one's sins. Because He told this man, arise, carry your bed by yourself, and go to your home. And remember, this is the very bed that he's being carried there on. Oh my. This is the very bed that he's being carried on there. And notice too, when we see this, this is a complete healing. You know, I went through some operations when I was about 12 years old. And I was in a cast from my tip toes here, my toes all the way up to here with a bar in between my legs. And for 6 months. 6 months I was in that cast. And when they cut that cast off, I had to learn to walk just like the guys in the forces when they're on those bars and you have to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to walk. My legs were like jello. There was no muscle. And that was only after 6 months. So I had to learn how to walk all over again. This man is, we don't know if he could walk before, but if he could, okay. But he's in a state now where he can't move. He can't, he's on a bed. He probably had to be carried onto the bed. And this healing is so complete. So complete. Look what happens. In Matthew 9, verse 7. And he arose and departed to his house. He got right up. This is a complete healing. He got right up. And he went right to his house. My, he was justified freely by God's grace. And he who was justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus was like Abraham. He proved his faith, right? By his works. And obedience is always the fruit of faith. This man obeyed what Christ said. He obeyed what Christ said. Believers are men and women who are obedient to Christ. We're obedient to Christ. This is our desire. This is the character of the believer's life. To live a life that's obedient to our Savior. And look what verse 8 brings forth here. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. So marvel at what you've seen tonight. Marvel at what we've looked at in the Scriptures tonight. You who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God, marvel at how we've seen Christ's deity manifested. Marvel at His eternal Godhead. Marvel at His power. Marvel at how He declared Himself the Messiah, the Son of Man. And there's one more point that I'd like us to leave with tonight. One more point that I'd like us to think upon that we've seen in God's Word. We've seen the tenderness and compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ to His people, haven't we? He forgave this man all his sins. He healed him completely. And He forgave him of all his sins. The tenderness and the compassion of Christ to His people. He pardoned this man's sin. It was unasked for. Unasked for by this man who had the palsy. And again, we see that this healing of this man was his whole body. Think of this. Our Lord pardons all the sins of His people. And the Scripture declares we are complete in Him. Complete in Him. All according to His mercy and all according to His grace. So be astonished, you who are the people of God. We have a picture here with this man of our natural estate. Of our natural state. Hopeless, helpless before God. And then completely forgiven. And in our right mind. Complete in Christ. And then think of this. Obediently walking to our home. Pilgrimaging through this world. Pilgrimaging through this world. And one day we'll be home. We'll be home. Praise His mighty name. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and grace. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we who are Your people, we are so thankful that You sent Your Son. And Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that You came to this world to redeem Your people from their sins, to pardon all our iniquity by the sacrifice of Yourself, the sinless One dying for sinners. May we think upon this week. May You bring to mind the things that we've learned tonight. Lord, help us to meditate upon these things through the week and marvel. And we who are the people of God, help us to be of good cheer when we think about this wondrous salvation that we have in Thee. And Lord, we also pray that You'd use the message for Your glory. And if it be Your will, oh Lord, to open the eyes of one of Your lost sheep or to give them ears to hear Thee. Lord, oh, we pray that You'd use the message for Your glory and for the furtherance of Thy kingdom, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.